Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fourth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops Show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming WNIN.org. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats. And joining me tonight on the last show of the season for the Indiana Hoosiers, Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Evan Walker.
How's it going?
Maria Berger. It is the last show of the year, and basically it was the last show of the year for me last week. You know, I mean, gosh dang.
The Scarlet Knights.
The Scarlet Knights, no kidding. That was a little rough, but hey, it's been fun, hasn't it?
It's been an incredible year.
And it's March, absolutely.
Last show of the year, there's a tear in my beer.
You said that last year. You have to say it every time.
That's the way I got to sign out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, we're back here, folks, in Studio 2. Again, this is show number 9 of season 4. Again, phone lines 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops, the intern Walker is here, and he wants some tweets.
Yes.
So let's blow him up here a little bit.
The Twitter traffic has been sporadic this year. We've had some nights. I think the night that the mid-major discussion got going,
boy, that went.
Twitter blew up.
It did.
But there's been some nights it's been pretty low. So people, you can tweet us at Red Blue Hoops.
That's right.
Tell you what, Chad. We already had the phone line lit up back there, but before we go to the phones, I'm going to take responsibility for what happened since last week's show.
I agree. You do.
I bragged on both programs. Both Indiana and Kentucky basketball programs had improved toward the latter part of the season, and I thought we were going to do decent since last week's show, and boy, did both teams lay two eggs or what?
Gosh. No question. I'll talk about the Rutgers game a little bit later, I think. But that game was so bizarre because Indiana was 8-point favorites and started the game on a 17-3, 24-8 run. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was just a weird for the underdog to come back after getting down like that. That does not happen often. So, but that's Indiana. That was probably a fitting end.
So after last week's show, Allison and I had to go to a Murray State alumni dinner.
Okay.
Down on Franklin Street at Smitty's. So when we got back in the car, right when we turned it on was when the crazy ending to Louisville, Virginia was occurring.
Oh, where so the guy banked the three-pointer?
Yeah, we heard the bank three right when we turned the car on.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
So we got home, and I think we saw maybe the second half of your game. I think that's about right when I got tuned in, and I was a little surprised with that performance. Based on what you guys have been doing going into that game.
I agree.
Against better competition.
Yeah, I agree. It was just very surprising. I thought it was going to be a stretch to beat Purdue. I did say that we would last week. Mm-hmm. I predicted that we would beat Rutgers and Purdue. But, I was crazy year. Nothing really surprises me, I guess. But that did surprise me to lose to Rutgers there last week.
Well, Kentucky went down to Florida.
Yep.
Laid an egg there. I was feeling pretty good halfway through the first half. I was looking at Walker and his buddies that were watching the game with, and I think the score
was close.
14-all.
14-all, yeah.
I was watching it at that point.
I was like, hey, we survived the initial thrust of the home crowd and all that stuff. And then at that point, man, Florida just got hot.
I think it was like a 49-29 run.
You like those big runs. You always like
He's a run keeper.
He's a math guy.
I think there's an app called Run Keeper on the iPhones. But,
I think it's for actual running, though.
You know what happened, looking back on, I didn't really pay attention at the time, but Vanderbilt and Washington both got in foul trouble.
Yep.
And they were a plus in that game, but without them, we were obviously a huge minus with those two guys off the court.
Florida is a sneaky good team
well,
though. They are. Streaky. They could win 3, 4, 5 games in a row in this tournament.
I think they could get beat first round.
There's a lot of teams like that. Weird.
But anyway, they didn't. Kentucky didn't play like I hoped on the road. I was hoping for a more competitive game. The only thing I will say that I was happy to see, we got down 20 or so, and we didn't completely give up. At least they showed some resiliency.
Sure, sure.
As a really young team. But, Chad, our team, when we lose, we don't pass the ball.
Yep.
And we turn the ball over. Those two things are our huge Achilles heels right now. So, I don't know. But, hey, I mentioned Murray State a minute ago. I do want to comment. I want to compliment our community.
Yep.
Because Evansville hosted the Ohio Valley Conference Championship last week, and Murray State, obviously, my alma mater, came in here and won that championship, beat Belmont in the finals on Saturday night. But the community was the big winner. It was our first chance to host that tournament. It was a one-year contract. We're hoping to get it back. And all I talked to as many fans as I could.
Yep.
Murray State, Tennessee, whoever I could find, I would ask about their experience in Evansville. And everyone, every single response I got was extremely positive, and they all want to come back here next year. I heard a rumor Saturday night that every president in the OVC had already voted yes, except one, Belmont, of course.
Because like, it could be in Nashville.
It could be in Nashville. But
right.
The facility they hosted at Nashville is a complete dump, and the Ford Center is an absolute gem.
It's beautiful. It is. It's a great
facility. Not
GYM,
but GEM.
Yeah, GEM. Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, I got you. Yeah,
shining
absolutely.
Star.
Crystal.
Yeah, crystal. Exactly. But, man, the atmosphere was fantastic inside. It was great outside on Main Street. And I was just so proud as a member of this community on how we did hosting that tournament. So shout out to all the committee members and all the volunteers and the businesses that, you know,
no
banded
doubt
together
about it.
To bring that to Evansville. So
agree,
hopefully
100%.
We'll get them back next year. So we're going to go to the phone lines right now. I think Kim, welcome to Red Blue Hoops on Show 9, Season 4.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Mom, good evening. Doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm going to be sad on these next Thursdays.
I know it. We were just talking about that. It's been it's been too fast of a year, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the way it is when you get older.
It is. It is.
Okay, I'm going to ask both of you, what team would be a surprise team in the Final Four? That, you know, I mean, somebody that really would shock everybody.
Well, last year's surprise team was South Carolina.
Yeah.
As a 7 seed.
Yeah.
This year, wow, without knowing what the brackets look like yet, that's a big, wild guess.
I would say Purdue.
Well,
okay.
I'm going to say Gonzaga, and they were in the national semifinal. They were in the national championship last year, and they obviously are a historically great team, but I think they're very under the radar. I didn't even realize they're 30-4, and they're playing really well. So maybe this is a year that they go all the way and win it. That would be interesting.
Oh.
So I don't know. What do you think? You got any thoughts on that?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You watch
no
hoops.
Clue.
We talk about it.
She has no clue. She says, "I love it." My surprise Final
yeah,
Four.
Who you got?
I'm going to pick Kentucky. Why not?
Oh,
what the
well,
heck? I'll be
you
a
have
homer.
To.
Nah,
I'll add another team. I'll add Wichita State.
Ooh, Greg Marshall, Wichita State.
Yeah,
wouldn't surprise me at all. With their bracket, with the way the bracket looks like right now, wouldn't surprise me.
All right, Kim. Anything else for us
we'll
tonight?
Talk to you. No, I'm going to miss you guys. Well, I'll see Chad, but
we're
I'll
good.
Talk to you next year.
Yeah, we're gonna do it again next year. So
I'm looking. I'm really looking forward to that dinner invitation.
That's right. We're doing that this summer.
That's right.
Yeah,
we are. We're doing
Kim,
it.
Kim, just so you know,
I
Chad.
Promise.
Just so you know, Kim, Chad does have my phone number, so you can get a hold of him anytime. All right.
Okay, buddy. It was a joy talking to you.
You too. Thank you, Kim.
Love you. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Appreciate the support all season. I think she called every week.
She did
this year.
Absolutely did.
Well, except for the show we had at the live remote, and she was there and asked a question.
She did.
So she's an All-American status.
Yeah.
We'll save the phone lines here, Berger.
Do we have another one already?
We have another one on the line? Yeah. We're going to go to second caller. Wayne, welcome to the night show. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing fine. Well, I don't think UK's going to the Final Four, so I hate to burst Evan's bubble there. But I'm going to say a surprise team would probably be Michigan.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think now they've gained so much steam that people are probably starting to pick them to get there.
What seed are they expected to be?
Right now, they're the 3 seed in the East with the 2 seed Duke, which would be a Sweet 16
matchup.
Wow.
Oh, interesting. That would be a good
matchup. Wow, they really moved up high.
Who's that, Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, after that Big Ten tournament run, they did. They climbed.
Well, hey, just kind of on a closing note here, I mean, I kind of agree with Evan. I thought the OVC tournament, man, that was a fantastic atmosphere.
Yep.
I'd really like to see that, you know, be hosted again. I think that's just, it was great. Good time.
Yeah, you were out there for the championship too, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, he was sitting to my left.
He was a Murray State fan.
He had like awesome. Murray State colors on.
That's awesome.
Hey, you know what? Indiana was done. I took off my Indiana red, you know, crimson and white, and I put on Murray State.
You became a racer for one night. I like it.
So, anyway, guys, great show. I'm looking forward to next year. I think IU will be fine next year. I think we'll get out of the mid-major status.
And all right.
Make Evan have to talk about UK a little bit more and not pound at IU all the time.
Hey, Wayne, I'm all for it. I'm
we
hoping
want it to happen.
We want both teams to be in the top 10 at some point during the show.
Do. That's never happened, right?
No.
Yeah.
It's not. That's not happened.
One thing, as a passing note, is I told, I think I mentioned to Evan Saturday night at the OVC Championship, and I told Coach Chad, just think of this, our boy Josh Ducor, Kirk, in his IU tenure, was 34-30 as being one of our starting point guards.
Hey, I'm going to correct you. I found this out, too. I thought of you earlier. He actually was 34-31, so he had one more loss than we thought he did because we were 18-16 last year and 16-15 this year.
Oh,
I forgot about it too, but that's how bad it is. That's our starting point guard for 2 years. That's not a good clip.
No, it's a bad stat. But Wayne,
well, hey guys, appreciate it. Enjoy the show. We'll see you again next year.
Hey, thanks for calling in every week, dude.
Appreciate it, Wayne.
No problem.
See you, bub.
Hey, talking about your mom's question. Made me look at a note of mine. I was talking about the KenPom kind of a matrix that I put together this year. I went back and looked at all the national champions since 2002 when KenPom started. And it's amazing how tight the data is determining who can win a national championship. And coming into tonight's show, I think this was 2 days ago, I checked this. 3 teams for sure match the data. Duke, Gonzaga. Chad,
okay, nice.
And Michigan State. But Michigan State, man, the way
they're
playing.
I don't trust them. I mean,
Wisconsin almost clipped them.
They did.
But then just outside the fringe
Purdue's
of the
right
matrix,
there,
Nova,
they?
Villanova and Purdue. So there's 5 teams there that, 2 of which are the Big Ten, I don't know. But Michigan, they looked really good last weekend.
John Beilein, like we were saying earlier, he plays 5 guys on the court that can score and they all defend. And that's a problem in March for a lot of people. We got
absolutely
another call?
Yeah, we do. We're going back to the phone lines.
Wow.
This is a former All-American caller that's lost his status this year due to some conflicts of schedule. We're going to Murray, Kentucky. Coach, welcome to Red
Coach
Blue Hoops.
Murray, all right.
Hello, Irv. How are you doing?
We're doing great. You've got Chad, Walker, and Evan here. How you doing, Coach?
Well, doing pretty good right now. Got through with some tournaments I was running, and
we missed having you here last weekend for the OVC. I know you would have loved to have been here, but you had an obligation to run that regional tournament down in the western part of the state.
Yes, sir. And let me tell you this. Everybody I've talked to, from just my buddies to university officials, was thoroughly, thoroughly pleased with Evansville and the way they ran the OVC tournament.
Yes. That is awesome. Sir. We love hearing that. It's important. And they've already submitted their request to host again next year. And I guess the OVC commissioner's office has to take a – final decision between Nashville and Evansville. So we're hopefully going to win that bid.
That would be huge.
There's no comparison from playing it in the miserable auditorium in Nashville and getting very little or almost no publicity. It was totally different in Evansville.
Evansville's a good sports town.
It is.
I like that stuff,
absolutely,
man. Yeah.
But, again, the great show as usual, and so glad to have been able to call in tonight.
Heck yeah. Thanks,
Coach,
for calling
thank you
in,
for your
man.
Support, awesome. And look forward to hearing back from you next season.
All right. See with the OVC playing Thursday, Saturday now.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to call.
That's true. Maybe you can call live from a game.
Yeah, except usually when I'm working as the official scorer for the Lady Racers,
it makes
hard to call.
That's true.
Right. That's a good point.
Maybe a conflict there. Well, thank you, Coach. Have a good night.
Thanks,
all right,
Coach.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Did you see the tweet I sent you last night, Chad?
Of course I did.
Oh,
about Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt and IU. The one thing in comparison they have is that they both lose.
The intern picking on one of the co-hosts.
Teams at home.
I give him a pass because he gets messed with at school. You told me that.
He does. He gets pounded.
Yeah, so I'm all right
with that. Even by school officials. I mean, they've done some things, in my opinion, in the Castle school system that have been questionable about how to treat a student.
Like
seriously.
Teachers?
Yes.
No way.
Yes. I would call it crossing the line of bullying a kid. Yeah. There's one day I almost drove up there.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my
someone
gosh.
Had to calm,
stop,
someone,
people. Stop.
Someone had to calm me down. But anyway.
That's incredible.
We're going back to the phone lines.
Oh, my gosh.
Chad's grandma, Betty, which is my mom's name, Betty.
Nice.
How about that? Another
beautiful name.
Betty, welcome to the Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hi.
Grandma, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Great to hear your beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Evan.
Hello, Betty.
Hi. This is kind of like Indiana.
All right.
It's really not a question, but years ago, when Chad was little, a little boy, at Christmas they played this song, Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
And he said to his mother or dad, did they say they're going to release Bobby Knight?
I think so.
I forgot about that. That is a great story.
Maria.
I think I was like five.
Well,
hey, Maria, save that spot. We got to keep that as a commercial next year.
Grandma, you're going to be on a commercial next year.
That
was a
hilarious.
Good one.
Hey, it was nice talking to you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling in. So, hey, are you been watching any basketball or what?
Pardon?
You been watching any basketball?
Oh, yes. So, I watch a lot.
So, who do you think is going to win the national championship?
Well, I was for Indiana.
Yep.
But, you know, things happen. I don't know who will win. Time will tell. Well,
that's right. The games will be starting soon. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Grandma. Love you very much.
Love
that was a
you.
Great story.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
That could be one of our best calls ever. Right there.
Did I tell you that
but
story?
But you told
not?
It differently.
Yeah, she knows. I mean,
you had different detail.
Yeah.
Feliz Navidad, are they releasing Bobby Knight?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
God.
I was like 5 years old, too.
You were 25.
Yeah. Do you still sing that?
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, Maria, with that, we have to go to our first break, folks. We'll be back here in a minute with our second segment of Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops, our last show of the season, season 4 here in Studio 2. That was Chad and the Archie Pickers.
That's right.
For tonight's entertainment.
Hilarious.
During the commercial.
So wait now.
Yo.
We were talking about unique callers.
Yes.
Is that Coach's first time this
no,
year?
No, that's his second. That's his second this
okay,
year.
Okay, so we got Grandma Betty tonight, yeah, so that's a new one.
Yeah, I study odd things during shows. Sometime between last week's show and tonight's show, I thought about going back and looking at my notes for last season and listing
all the callers.
All the unique callers.
Yeah.
Comparing to this season. Coming in tonight, it was 16 to 11. Betty makes it 12. So it's now 16 to 12 on the unique callers.
So this is where we challenge the audience right
Yeah,
now,
come on.
Right?
If you're, I mean, I challenged some people this week that said they're going to call in. They haven't called yet. I can think of a few people out there right now that are trembling.
Yeah.
People say, I don't know what to ask. And I say, ask anything. It doesn't matter. I mean,
we could give life advice if
we
want us to. I mean,
we talk about rising rivers. We talk about the weather.
We do.
I don't know, but anyway.
All kinds of we're here to help.
If you do want to call, Chad singing Feliz Navidad, our phone lines are 812-426-7400 or
tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Walker,
yeah.
Anything on
any,
Twitter.
Any Twitter traffic, Walker.
No Twitter.
Jeez, oh, Pete, what's going
Where's
on?
Where's Gotsy at? Yeah. Gotsy.
Gotsy's still, he's still tired from his golf trip. Okay, by the way, that reminds me. Last week when Gotsy called in from Florida on his golf trip, he handed the phone over to a Louisville fan.
He sure did.
Dr. Mark Shockley. And Mark Shockley was in a festive mood that night,
yeah,
to say the least.
They were having fun.
Well, to everyone's surprise, the next day, Shockley made a hole-in-one.
That's incredible.
I mean, I think it's Red Blue Hoops good luck.
It is.
So I don't like the KSR curse.
The KSR curse? We're calling it the Red Blue Hoops good luck thing. So, Chad, tell me your opinion. There's been a lot of chatter. A lot of people were making fun of the Big Ten tournament being in New York this year, and Delaney came out ahead of it and apologized for the decision.
Yep.
But I think there's been some positive feedback since the tournament ended because the attendance was good.
It was good.
Now, Michigan playing well helped because, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, they say Michigan has the largest Big Ten alumni group in the New York City area.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay. I did not know that.
I didn't either.
So that helped. But what was your overall assessment of the Big Ten tournament being there?
You know, I love having the tournament in Indianapolis or Chicago, obviously close.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
But MSG is a cool place to play games.
It Legendary arena.
It is. And I think initially the first couple of games maybe weren't as crowded, but it gained steam.
It did.
Gained momentum. And as far as exposure, the Big Ten got a lot of nice exposure with the national audience there. You're either going to watch the Big Ten tournament or you're going to watch the Missouri Valley. I mean,
well, no, you're the only Power 5 conference on TV.
Going. That's
so
exactly right. So,
you know.
So I thought it was okay. I'm okay with it, but I think I don't like how we had to get there with the
schedule. That
schedule
this year was awful.
It was. So we need to fix that for next year, which I think there's a plan for that. But I thought it was a pretty good tournament, really, at the end of the day.
So I heard an idea on the radio this week that would be music to Bob Knight's ears. You know, Bob Knight was not a proponent of conference tournaments.
Yeah.
John Calipari is not a proponent of conference tournaments.
Yep.
They're saying let the regular season do the talking to determine who the best teams are in the conference and to determine who the automatic bid team is for the big tournament. So the idea I heard this week I thought was intriguing. Scrap the conference tournaments and have a bubble tournament. Have all the bubble teams at the end of the regular season. So what you could do, you could expand your regular season conference schedule by two games.
Okay.
All right. Boom. You stop, and then you have a bubble team tournament to get into the big tournament.
How many teams are in that?
Well, you could probably
and
determine,
you know,
I'd say four, so 16. There'd be 16 bubble team tournament.
How can you add two more regular season games?
You could. You definitely could.
How?
Because,
I mean, the Big Ten's doing that anyway. They're having 20 games next year.
Yep. Yeah, but they're starting in December, though.
Right. Or you don't have to add the games. But
I'm just saying because you have to play the bubble tournament at some point.
Right.
And you can't do it 2 days before the NCAA tournament.
Right. That's a
good
point.
Point.
So maybe not add the games.
You have to play four games,
right,
if you had 16. Four games.
That's true.
To,
you could do
to
it
win it.
You could do it how many days? If you're in a 16-team bracket, 16 to 8. Eight
it's
to four. Four to two. It is four games.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
you
go and do eight games or
eight teams. Yeah.
Anyway, it's
an intriguing thought, though.
But I heard it. Who was talking about it? It was the former football coach at UCLA. God, what's his name? The blonde guy.
Neuheisel?
Yes.
Rick Neuheisel.
Rick Neuheisel's his idea. I was like, wow.
That is interesting.
Because think about it. I know the conference tournaments make a lot of money for the conferences. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
There we go back to the money thing again. Huge TV contracts, all that kind of stuff.
$1.1 billion.
And
right?
it generates some great games, but it does diminish the work, the body of work that the best teams have put together to that point.
It does.
In some of these smaller conferences, you have teams with losing records getting into the big dance. That's kind of goofy.
It is. It is.
I mean, if you're trying to have the big dance, I mean, the big dance is a great product, obviously. March Madness is an awesome product. But putting a team with a losing record in there is kind of weird.
You know what, though? Those smaller schools, though, don't they play the tournaments on their home court? Most of them?
No, some they're talking about this. Some do, some don't. There's been debate about that, saying the ones that don't, like Ohio Valley Conference, you know, they went away from that years ago. But there's some that just go on these neutral courts and the attendance is low. It doesn't look good on TV. So there's all sorts of discussion going on about it. But I thought that idea of a bubble tournament.
I like that.
It's kind of different.
I like it. I was just trying to put every perspective in it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Sure, absolutely.
Hey, to that point on the Big Ten tournament, Indiana has never won that tournament.
21 years.
They're
0-21.
0-21, career record of 12-21.
And they've been bounced the first game 13 times.
They have. So you've done your research on
that.
It's embarrassing.
It's
weird. I don't know if there is a Knight curse because Knight was so opposed to that early, and it just got that train rolling, and we're just terrible.
You literally drugged the thought out of my head just then. I was going to say it's the Bob Knight curse because he was so adamant against it.
Yeah.
But for us growing up, for me as a kid, it's been part of my life. I've been going to the SEC tournament since I was 15 years old. I've only missed like three. So it's been kind of like our family deal, right? But there are times I step back and say, oh, I tell you what, after playing all these games during the regular season, home and away, you've already kind of determined the best teams in the conference.
Oh, yeah.
So why does the automatic bid come from a three-game stretch? It's kind of weird.
It is.
But again, the Big Ten added it for one reason. Cash.
All about the money.
Cash.
Absolutely.
Cash. Yes, sir.
Breaking news, John Calipari says Jared Vanderbilt is doubtful in opener.
Okay, there you go. Breaking news from the intern Walker Beck here. So
that
what Walker's touching on, Vanderbilt was injured in practice this Tuesday, was listed day-to-day. He is with the team in St. Louis. He did not participate in this morning's shoot-around in the Scott Trade Center. So there's all this debate about is he going to play or not. So he just came out and said he's doubtful for the opener. I've heard UK has not released an official statement, just like IU does not,
right,
on his injuries.
Right.
But I've heard the rumor that's a high ankle sprain. Now, in 1998,
I don't like those.
During the SEC tournament, Jeff Shepherd suffered a high ankle sprain, I think in our first game. And it's a legendary story because they kept him up. He did not spend the night in the hotel. They kept him in a training room up all night long on a training table doing treatments to him, and he played. And then we ended up winning the national title.
That's right. I remember him.
It was the worst looking ankle sprain you could ever envision, but he played through it. So, you know, Vanderbilt's been a injury plagued kid. This is his third injury now in the past year and a half. He's already missed 17 games this season.
Is he gone? Do you think he'll go?
I don't know. I really don't. I know Knox is gone, and this is crazy, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, our lowest ranked recruit coming into the season, the 76ers with the 10th pick are showing interest. So he may be a lottery pick.
That's incredible.
I mean,
that's the Kentucky factor, though.
It is.
You
know, our program, you sit there and you see a recruiting class and you analyze it. You're thinking, well, Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be a 2-3, maybe 4-year player. Well, he blows up, may lose him after 1 year.
It's like Devin Booker.
Oh, yeah. Devin Booker, same thing. He was ranked the same as James Blackman Jr. And now Devin Booker's averaged about 30 a game the past month in the NBA.
He's awesome for the fantasy team.
He does put up a lot of points and stuff.
That's awesome.
Speaking of NBA, I want to touch on something that we covered last week thoroughly, and that was all this story about the FBI, the NCAA, and you and I had a great back-and-forth chat about that.
Yeah.
And I want to make something clear. I don't condone cheating. I do not condone cheating. I condone change. I think the NCAA is one of the most hypocritical organizations in our country. I will stand by that until they make change. There's been a lot of national media coming out this past week that are supporting the changes that I mentioned last week, and that is more of an Olympic model.
Right.
And then, ironically, Chad, yesterday, the audit, the NCAA's financial audit last year was released, folks. And check this out. The NCAA, as we said, brought in over $1 billion last year, folks.
That's a B.
And here's the part I have a really hard time digesting. In the last 3 years, the NCAA has paid out in outside legal fees $103 million. But At the school level, you can't put cream cheese on a bagel because it's an impermissible benefit, and you can't help a poor family watch their son play in a Final Four. It's completely hypocritical. These players do have value. You cannot argue that because of the TV deals that they get
no
these
question.
Days.
No question.
The system has to be changed. I don't have all the answers. I definitely do not. There's a lot of people that are talking about ideas, I mean, week in, week out. But
I guess to that point, what do you think is going to happen? Are they going to do anything before the next year?
That's a great question, and I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but the NBA has already taken some steps. So I'm calling the NBA right now as the bull market. The NCAA is the bear market.
Right.
Adam Silver, the commissioner for the NBA, is coming out talking about making immediate changes to the G League that would allow high school kids at the age of 18 to skip college and go into a G League in a developmental system, paid up front immediately.
Make a decent chunk of change there.
So then all of a sudden you remove the need for these people to try to scrape together some money to survive on. Like Cal Perry said, there's not many people that have the opportunity to go to the homes of these big recruits. And you go open a refrigerator, there's a can of corn in that refrigerator, nothing else. All right? See, like I said last week, all of us have great jobs, homes, families, income.
Yep.
We don't understand what it's like living in their shoes. So the NBA is making an aggressive move here, and I'm sad about it because I like seeing the best players come through college, whether it's 1 year, two, or four.
I agree.
I like seeing Marvin Bagley. I like seeing the kid from Arizona, Ayton.
Yeah.
I like watching him play college.
Yeah.
I want to see him play in March Madness. So if the NCAA doesn't get off their hiney and get out there and make some changes, I think the college game is going to suffer a little bit.
I agree.
Because, folks, the NBA doesn't care about the NCAA.
It's like you said. I mean, it's a business decision for them.
The NBA is concerned about you have 120 agents, you have the Players Association, you have all the owners. They're making business decisions independent of the NCAA. They do not care about the college game. Okay? It's just the reality of it. So, I don't know. I'm just hoping for the best at this point in time.
Yeah.
I don't have much faith in Mark Emmert and his staff.
I don't either.
This FBI stuff, I mean, it's gone fairly quiet. And the reason
is so bizarre.
They don't have anywhere close to the staff or the resources to go out and even investigate all this stuff right now. And that's just one report.
And I guess I go back to, I'm not even that impressed with the report.
Nah,
it's not
weak.
That much. Considering what those guys were saying, 40 and Thamel, weak, man.
Well, how about this week's article they sent out? They totally spent an entire article talking about one dinner where Bam Adebayo ate fondue after an NBA prep camp in Virginia with an agent or two in a restaurant, and there's a receipt. But all it is a receipt is from a restaurant. It doesn't have any names attached to it or anything else, and it has no proof that he was there, but guess what? The dinner was, I think, $88, which is permissible. But they wrote an entire article about Bam Adebayo eating fondue. Yeah, it's like they're grasping for straws in an environment that's broken.
Is 40 not like Kentucky?
Hates them.
That's what
I thought. Pete Thamel hates Kyle Perry.
That's what I thought I heard one time.
Yeah, there's no question about it. So, anyway, folks, phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. Still nothing on Twitter.
No.
Man.
So we touched on the Big Ten, but before we go into the SEC tournament, let's go to our last break of our last show of Season 4. Marie, you ready? All right, folks, we'll be right back. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank helps businesses achieve their financial goals by offering consulting and business lending and cash flow optimization for a wide range of industries. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
Back to Red Blue Hoops, folks. This is our final segment of Season 4, Show 9, here in Studio 2 at WNIN. I want to take a moment to thank a lot of people. It's been a great Season 4 here on Red Blue Hoops. Walker, the intern, this is your third and a half year?
Third and a half year,
3.5
yes.
years doing this. You're doing a great job. Yeah. Your voice has changed since you started this job.
I think so, just a little bit.
Yeah?
Just a little.
And Chad's been great working with you. I want to thank Berger, Maria, everyone here at WNIN, Brad Kimmel. Obviously, he, I think, was the founder, the guy that thought up this concept.
Got it going, yeah.
And again, it's really unique. I think I was telling you at the OVC tournament last week, Chad, you have to stop and think. This is a very unique format. I mean, there's not rival.
That was a good point.
If you go across the country, I don't know of any others. There may be others out there. I knew there used to be an Iowa State football rival program that's no longer on the air. So I think we're doing something that's fairly unique. And
they're definitely not as good as you and I.
No, throw that no out way. There. No, they don't have the professional training that we do, which is zero.
That's right. But we get better every year, I think.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated by the comments that we get randomly around the community, and sometimes I'm taken back by who listens. I mean, it's people that I don't even realize are sports fans. But this week, I got to tell you a story because I may not be doing my job very well. I walked into this meeting yesterday afternoon. There's about 20 people in the room, and one of my really, really new clients from out of town, the guy goes, "Hey, Evan. I was flipping channels the other night and came across NPR, and I swear I think I heard your voice on this hoop show."
Oh, yeah.
I said, "Yeah, Red Blue Hoops." And he goes, "Are you red or blue?" I said, "I must not be doing my job if you had to ask." I mean, I think I'm pretty abundantly clear that
absolutely
I'm blue.
Absolutely you are. Yeah, I'm surprised.
But I had to laugh at that.
That
man.
Is funny.
He goes, "Are you red or blue?" Like, I'm blue. Speaking of Cal Perry, I was going to mention the SEC tournament before I go to that. Cal Perry was in our local market this week.
Yes, he was.
Cal Perry was in Henderson. Cal Perry was doing his weekly radio show at 5 p.m. Central on Monday. In the halfway point, he goes, "Folks, I'm sorry, I've got to go. I've got to go on a recruiting trip, but it's not that far away, so I'll be back tonight." So I was thinking, oh, yeah. So he came into Henderson. Kentucky is recruiting this kid named Kiki Tandy.
K-Y.
Tandy. That's a nickname for DeKavion or DeKaviondo or something like that. But Kiki Tandy from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, plays for University Heights, the Blazers. He's a 2019 recruit, 6'1", mature body, can jump out of the gym, shoots 61% from the field, 45% from the three. He's lighting it up in the postseason, and he lit it up again in front of Cal Perry the other night in front of a standing room only gym.
That's what I heard.
Dropped 33 against their crosstown rival, Christian County. Christian County beat University Heights earlier this year. But what I like to hear about this kid being tough and not soft is in the fourth quarter, he was suffering leg cramps but dropped 12 points and hit some key free throws while cramping. Pretty cool.
That's good.
In front of Cal Perry, too.
That's good.
And they said he was really excited about having him in the house. Now, kid's ranked 150 right now. But based on the research that I've gotten into, I think his ranking, if he has a pretty good summer, I think it'll go up in the top 100. But he's a local Kentucky kid.
I was going to ask you, is there
a lot of pressure on Cal right now?
Does he have any Kentucky players on the team right now?
Well, he has one, but he's a walk-on. Dylan Pulliam, which I don't – that doesn't
– Brad Calipari, do we count him?
That does not count. Guess what? This is another thing that makes me mad about Brad. If you look in the freaking roster and where he's from, he claims that academy he went to in the Northeast. He doesn't even call Lexington his hometown.
Attention all basketball fans. If you see Evan outside the building here, ask him about Brad Calipari because yes. That will get him going every time.
Now, with that being said, after hearing from Mike Pratt about these people here in our show, I better watch what
That's
I say
because right.
I may get a call. Because yeah, Cal.
John might call. He's not.
Cal's very defensive of Brad.
That's good. Well, that's what it. That's what
I know. I'll be the same way with Walker.
That's right.
But I better watch what I say on the show. But okay, back to the SEC tournament, folks. It's going on. It's in an odd location this year. For the first time in tournament history, it's in St. Louis.
Yes.
It's a throwing the bone to Missouri as a new league member. The tournament started last night. Had two games last night. We've already had two games today, and today's games have been phenomenal. Had a last second shot by Colin Sexton of Alabama. To beat A&M.
And that shot was sick.
Crazy. End to end.
It was beautiful.
It was like a beautiful George Gervin finger roll.
That nothing but net. Woo! I mean, just beautiful.
And that was a must-win game for the Crimson Tide.
Yes, it was.
So great atmosphere there, followed by the most anticipated, I think, player for this weekend.
Yeah.
Returning to the court, Michael Porter Jr. from the Missouri Tigers. number two ranked draft board guy right now. Mm-hmm. He's only played 2 minutes this season before he suffered a season near season ending back injury. So the anticipation was through the roof, right? He comes in. He was moderately effective, but Missouri lost to Georgia. So Kentucky will play Georgia tomorrow at 2:30. We're heading out in the morning, right, Walker? Heading over to STL.
Oh, yes.
Boom.
I-64.
That's right. But
it's
I hear
a great
the,
place to watch games. Arch. I've been over there for Arch Madness, and I've enjoyed it.
A friend of mine sent me a picture that kind of was a panoramic of the arena last night. Yep. And I will say that for the Wednesday night games, the attendance last night was better than years past.
Sure.
I mean, it's a basketball crazy area over there, too.
It is. Absolutely is.
So I'm looking forward to it. You know, if Missouri had beaten Georgia today, Chad, it would have been full of Missouri and Kentucky fans. The atmosphere would have been great, you know?
That would have been a rowdy one.
It didn't work out. So what's your prediction for the SEC tournament? Who's your champion?
Oh, my gosh.
So let me tell you on the
Give
brackets
me the
right now.
Here.
So on the top half of the bracket, you've got Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia. On the bottom, you have to be determined, but you have Florida and Tennessee who both swept UK this year. So it worked out well for us that we don't meet them until the finals if we get there. Auburn lost their big man.
I was going to say, I'm not an Auburn believer,
right?
So I'm going to check them off.
You think Kentucky can take care of Georgia? Georgia's already played two games. They may be a little bit
– I do winded. Like that. Was it Yonte Matten or whatever?
Player of the year, Matten. AP player of the year.
He's a good player. Mm-hmm. IU recruited him hard, actually, back
Did they
the
really?
Day. Yeah, Crean. Crean actually talked about it briefly.
Is that
on
right?
The show.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
He was player of the year, AP. The coaches voted for the Tennessee kid. Walker, who was it?
Jaren Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they get that game. So then who – Kentucky does. And then who would they play Saturday?
Winner of Bama and Auburn. It's the Iron Bowl basketball version
See,
in St. Louis.
Here's – I'll throw this out there. I like that Colin Sexton. I think he could just run the table and they go all the way and win this tournament.
And like I said, playing the day before is under, like, talked about.
Oh, it is. It is. I think it is. You mean like it's an advantage mm-hmm. versus a disadvantage. Yes. I agree.
Even the former Ole Miss coach this year.
Kennedy.
Kennedy was on. He's doing SEC Network this week, which is pretty cool since he was just coaching about 3 weeks ago. But he said the playing the previous day has a short-term advantage. And I told you, I think last week, Kentucky's first games, we usually win by 10, and then the next game win by about 15, and then go on.
It just gets better, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. But, I don't know, with Jerry Vanderbilt being doubtful.
That does hurt.
That hurts a lot, a whole lot. I don't know. I have to see how we play against Georgia tomorrow, and it'll give me a feel for what I think about our chances against the winner of Bama and Auburn on
That's
Saturday.
That's the advantage of having those guys like Sexton and – even Trey Young, even though I'm thinking Oklahoma should not be in the tournament. But, man, you get those guys, they can catch lightning in a bottle and carry you to 3, 4, 5 wins in a row.
The best news for Kentucky, in my opinion, is that we have no more away games.
Yeah.
It's a young team. It's neutral on out. So, hopefully we can benefit from that. So, what about switching gears completely? Let's go into golf real quick. Got to give a shout-out to our local guy, Dylan
Saw
Meyer.
That. Absolutely.
Dylan Meyer of Central High. Graduate, plays for Illinois' mm-hmm. golf team, got an exemption into the Valspar PGA tournament this weekend. He
down
played today down in Florida. He shot one under, which is good enough for tied for eighth.
That's not too
Isn't
shabby.
That awesome again.
Tied, but yeah, it's a tie.
He's
where's Tiger at in that right now?
He is one under.
He's
tied
with
five
Dylan.
Birdies, four
that's
bogeys.
That's what I saw.
Yep.
Okay, nice.
Yep, exactly. And so Dylan Meyer is still an amateur, but can play in a professional tournament now. If he were to make the cut. And go to the weekend, he cannot accept any money because to maintain his amateur status.
I got you.
See what I'm saying? Anyway, so that's kind of cool, though. We're excited for Dylan. Hope he does well this weekend.
It'll be a help for a big contract, though.
So, Walker, what's your prediction for the SEC tournament?
Mine? Ooh, I think we're going to have some rebound struggles tomorrow. I think we'll get out rebounded by 5 or 6 with Vanderbilt out, probably.
Yep.
Then I say we win by 7 or 8.
Calling a victory. I wonder mm-hmm. what the line is on that.
It'll probably be about 3 to 4 or 5.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. And then I predicted we played Alabama before they beat A&M. Because I make predictions. I'm cool like that. But play Alabama. And
He's
then,
the
man,
isn't he?
Yeah. I like think it. We play a good old Rocky Top, Tennessee, Sunday at noon.
For the championship.
But I think we lose that. I think our minds are on the NCAA tournament. Ready to go.
In Tennessee, man, for us.
It's a good team. And they play you guys well, don't they?
Yeah, we should have beaten them at home, for sure. Actually, you know, looking back on, thinking back to when we played them on the road, played a great first half.
Until PJ.
And we were doing really well. Then PJ got hurt. And then Winnie and Gabriel fouled out. And that's when we just folded up.
Yep.
And went home. So what about a former Kentucky coach this week in the news? Tubby Smith down at Memphis. So he loses a game.
Teletubby.
I guess he was in the post-game conference. And a reporter asked about this transfer situation. You know, it's becoming more and more popular.
Yes.
For these graduate people to transfer. And Tubby's remarks were not well received. He said that the transfer situation is allowing these kids to learn how to quit. And boy, did he get a backlash on that, because Tubby left Tulsa for Georgia.
Absolutely.
Left Georgia for Kentucky. Left Kentucky for Minnesota.
Yes.
Let me tell a story about that situation there that people don't know this very often. When Tubby left Kentucky under a lot of pressure from people like me.
Right.
But he left Kentucky in basically the middle of the night, and his head associate coach, David Hobbs, one of his lifetime best friends, Tubby didn't tell him. He found out from a administrator at the university that Tubby had left. So Tubby went to Minnesota, got fired, then hired at Texas Tech.
Yep.
Left there for Memphis. So this is a guy that's bounced five times on his own, but is complaining that kids transfer are quitters.
Yeah, it's very unfair. And he got destroyed on Twitter and just media.
What is he thinking?
Yeah, just freak. And actually, now there's a coup d'etat in Memphis. He's gonna get overthrown for Penny Hardaway, is what it looks like, right?
Yeah, which is I'm hearing a lot of things
that
about
affects
that.
You guys.
It does, because we're in I think the favorite position to get James Wiseman, the number one player in the 2019 class, out of Memphis. He currently plays for Penny's AAU team. And the way the current rules are written, if you're hired as a head coach, that player can come with you. If you're hired as a head or an assistant, that AAU player can come with you. But if you're hired for like one of these, like director of operations jobs, they can't come with you, something like that. They're trying to eliminate that hire for play deal. But Penny's comment, the rumor is that he would bring Larry Brown with him.
I saw that.
But dude, he's been in trouble everywhere.
He's like 96, isn't
96
he?
Is in constant probation.
Everywhere. It's like Patino. I think he'll probably put Patino on that staff too. Makes sense.
Speaking of former coaches, Crean's name is in the news every day. I mean, he's being thrown around for like Pitt. What's the other one? Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. I think there's a third one that I heard his name on.
I go back to Crean. He sounds great doing these games, but I wonder if he's still an out-of-bounds play, if we can figure that out. Handling a 2-3 zone defense, I wonder if he's figured that out yet. I know he's enjoyed his time, but he actually does.
He does.
He sounds pretty good. He could do it. It just bugs me because I know how he coaches these scenarios, and it's not the same.
But don't forget, he went to all these other coaches. Remember that article?
He did. He learned a lot. I mean, good for him, right?
At least he's not giving up.
The next Jim Nance.
That's right.
Who, Tom Crean?
Oh, yes.
Let me give an IU perspective on something real quick.
Absolutely.
Not on Crean, but just a reminder of the season. I just want the fans to think about something for a minute. So I think if I went back to the first show, or maybe just me thinking about the season, I knew we were probably going to play 30 games, 31 games. I think our ceiling, in my opinion, was 22-9, 21-10, something like that. And after the Wisconsin loss
on the road,
that put Indiana at 8-7, and KenPom at that very night predicted IU to lose the next 13 games. Do you remember talking about that or me saying that?
Yep.
So at that snapshot in time, I thought, okay, now my floor on this team is 13-18. So we found a way to salvage a 16-15 season. Is that a great season? No. We lost four games in a row. We won four games, and then we lost three to end the year. So not a great season. Probably lost a little bit of momentum just with the fan base. I think Archie's the right guy. I think the X's and O's are there. He's recruiting Indiana kids. If you follow him on Twitter, he is all over the state of Indiana right now,
seeing
all these guys.
He is.
Obviously, the key for these for IU, and it can't be understated, obviously, Langford is huge. But I will say that even beyond not getting him, I think there's a backup plan. And for the folks that are like, oh, if we don't get Langford, we're going to have a down year. It's over. No, it's not. And for Archie's sake, it can't be. He's on the hook next year. I think he did get somewhat of a free pass. I like the guy. I love the guy, actually. But I understand Hoosier Nation, and also you see the top 10 ranked coaches just financially. He's number 10. He's making $3.2 million a year.
That's right.
You have to produce, and you have to produce fast in this business. Chris Holtmann, and Holtmann had a little bit different scenario. He was coming off a team that had built some depth the year before. They had some guys that played a little bit more than they normally would. So they came in with experience. And then he got Diop back, one of the best players in the country this year.
That's right.
So what I actually expect from Archie next year, with or without Romeo, is what Holtmann did this year with Ohio State. I expect a huge jump regardless. And I think there's a plan for life without Romeo, even though I still think Romeo is going to come to Indiana.
Well, I saw some player development occurring with Justin Smith?
Justin Smith got a lot better. He really did.
He did.
That's a great point.
Davis will be coming back.
In my opinion, Juwan Morgan looks like he's going to come back. He's saying all that kind of thing.
I saw that in an article today. Yep.
Zach McRoberts, a walk-on guy, but talk about a great glue guy that will come back next year. I think there's a lot of question marks on Devontae Green. Some people think that the reason why Archie's looking at all these JUCO guards is that somebody might transfer or something may happen, and it's not just that Lankford's not going to come, it's he's preparing for something else.
Sure.
So, you know, we'll see. I guess my last point, I think I told you this offline, but on Romeo Lankford, I'm in the sales business, and I always think about as a salesperson, when a prospect lets me come in last to talk to them about a deal, I probably am shooting like 95% on closing that deal. I really am. And you know that. You do the same kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So Lankford has said publicly a handful of times, 5-6 times, that he wants to visit Indiana again. So
that's huge.
I'm visualizing what that looks like, and if I'm Lankford, I'm probably going to Archie and saying, "Okay, give me the rundown. You guys were 16-15 this year. What's going to happen? Who's coming back? How am I going to fit in?" And then if I'm Archie, I'm saying, "Look, here's the deal, Romeo. We were 16-15. We lost a lot of close games. I'm not getting you to go from 16-15 to 24-7. I'm getting you to win a national championship." And I believe that. I think there's good enough guys with Romeo, provided Juwan Morgan stays and Justin Smith in this recruiting class. Next year takes the huge leap with him.
That's going to be an interesting offseason for sure.
It is. There's a lot going on there.
Any timeline from the Romeo camp on a decision at all?
I think it's going to be after the McDonald's game.
Okay.
So that's what he said. So
that's awesome. That's a great
– sorry
great
to take a lot of time there.
That's great. I love that stuff. I was talking to you right before we started. You know, right now, Isaiah Briscoe would be a junior, Isaac Humphreys, and the Matthews kid from Michigan would be juniors at UK right
Sick.
Now. Good gracious.
We've been seeing some of those pictures on Twitter with all these UK, like having DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis together.
Folks, we're going to wrap it up. Just lost audio here. And
there we go. We're back.
Again, we have really had a great time. We appreciate all the listeners, all the callers for your support of Red Blue Hoops. We'll be back next year, bigger and better than ever. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Go
Thank
kids.
You, guys.
Production support for Red Blue Hoops is provided by Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Maria Thomas. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.